See more innovation in packaging and processing at Pack Expo International than anywhere else in the world. It's the show that defines where the industry is headed, with the solutions that define where your business can go. Discover cutting-edge packaging technology, processing equipment, new materials, sustainable solutions, supply chain resources, and much, much more. You'll walk away with innovative solutions to challenges big and small. Register at PackExpoInternational.com. You're listening to Unpacked with PMMI, where we share the latest packaging and processing industry insights, research, and innovations to help you advance your business. Hi, and welcome to part five of a special six-part sustainability series of Unpacked with Packaging World editors Anne-Marie Moen and Matt Reynolds. As always, I'm your host, Sean Riley, and today the three of us take a deep dive into mono-materials. Matt and Anne-Marie cover sustainability and packaging materials on a daily basis for leading packaging publication, Packaging World. As plastic films evolved from the cellophane of the early 1900s and plastic packaging exploded in the 21st century, monolayer plastic packaging quickly grew to many-layer plastic packaging. Packaging designers and scientists found new ways to enhance flexible and rigid plastic package design, shelf life, and stability. Anne-Marie and Matt talk about the desire by some to move back to mono materials, as multiple layer packaging can be significantly more difficult to recycle or reuse. So let's jump right in.
So with all the fancy introductions out of the way, welcome back to the podcast, Anne-Marie Mohan and Matt Reynolds. Welcome, Anne-Marie.
Nice to be here, Sean.
Welcome, Matt.
Thank you, sir.
Pleasure is all mine. One of the first things, believe it or not, I did not grow up striving to work in the packaging press, although it is something to strive for, children, as look at these two esteemed colleagues can tell you. One of the first things I learned, and I don't know why, and I feel like a lot of people know this, but I didn't, and I'm not ashamed to admit it, was I went to a packaging contest. I wasn't involved in the judging. It was more just to learn about it. And I was not aware that things like a bag of chips had multiple layers to them. It had a film on the outside for design, maybe, and a film on the inside for foil for barrier. It had something else to make it hold up better in old machines that are trying to seal it. And I wasn't aware that there was, it just to me feels like one layer. And I think most people, when they buy a package, don't think of flexible packaging having multiple layers, whether it's a stand-up pouch. So many things are in flexible packaging now. So I understand that there is a desire out there or a move to a single layer, you know, a single film, for lack of a better word. Is there a reason for this? Why the move? I guess kind of to kick off with that, like what's driving that impetus to get to this one monolayer material?
That's a great question. One of the things that's driving the development of monolayer films for packaging is the fact that with those multi-layer constructions that you talked about, you may have three or four different layers of film that mm-hmm. are different. So maybe a PET and a polypropylene and an aluminum. So with our current recycling infrastructure, we can't separate these layers during recycling. So flexible packaging has a great story to tell when it comes to sustainability. But one of the things that has been a drawback in their messaging and just basically in end of life scenario is that it can't be recycled. So if you have a monolayer film, it could be several layers, but it would be the same material. So polyethylene, which if you have a very thin barrier for coating or adhesive, that still means that it can be recycled. So that's really what's driving the development of these films.
So it's a matter of once, and again, I'm really simplifying this, but you can get, you explained it really well to begin with. So you're putting these two plastics and they will go together, but we can't separate them. And I use plastics as a general term, but we can't separate them. So we can do it if we use two multiple layers of polyethylene and PET, polypropylene. They're mashed together. But I guess then we wouldn't be able to use something like an aluminum. No? Could that film be in there?
No.
No. So that's where I'm saying, like, okay, so those films. So technically it's a monolayer, but it's not really just one layer. It's really a mix of the same thing, which I think you kind of touched on.
Yeah. Okay. So there's a difference, I guess, just the syntax difference between monolayer and monomaterial. So it might be multiple layers.
So maybe that's where I'm confusing. Yeah. And if I'm confusing the audience, maybe this is something that would be helpful to explain to me.
Right. So, I mean, it could be a multi-layer structure, but as long as one example that I just saw at PAC Expo East, actually.
Mm-hmm. In Philadelphia,
born and raised, was it's a Pantene product. It was a refill pouch, but it's a PE sealant layer, PE pouch. So it's really a monomaterial. Now, there is a sealant layer in there that adds a barrier to it, but in such a, maybe less than 2%, a tiny percentage of the overall material. So that PE sealant layer, PE, can go into the PE stream without, and a MRF can handle that at that kind of ratio or that kind of volume. And the sealant layer itself is the barrier. So that can be, for instance, recycled in the Japanese stream, because that's a Japanese Pantene product. But so that's the difference. Even though it's multiple layers, it's really monomaterial.
So then, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to add that maybe one thing to clarify too is that even though it may be a monolayer package, it can't be recycled still through your typical blue box recycling. Okay. It has to go to the in-store drop-off. A lot of retailers, grocery stores have in-store drop-off of polyethylene bags. So the bags your newspaper comes in, things like that.
When you said the drop-off, that's what I was going to say. So those type of things, or the plastic bags that I know we're getting some municipalities are getting away from, but you used to be able to return them to stores. That would be something where they could be just reused into other bags, or can they be reused into other types of, or we don't know how they're reused. We just know they can be reused.
They're reused into, whatever the channel is. It's polypropylene, some other form of polypropylene. Okay. It's PE, it's another form of PE, and PET. PET is a different story because it's rigid, but or can be rigid. But anyways, it would go back to the original material that of the channel it's going through. But consider that the films being returned to stores, there's really not a whole lot of adoption for that, at least not in society,
right?
In the United States. It just adds a burden or a had responsibility to the consumer. So, it's a difficulty.
Can't be troubled to bring something back to the store and put it in a container to save the earth.
But, the good news is that there is a growing, whether it's generational shift or whatever it is, but people, the tide is turning, mm-hmm. and people are doing that. Consider this, you mentioned that the how to recycle, which is, it's sort of a function of American Plastics Recyclers, APR, they certify something that is recyclable, mm-hmm. and then the how-to recycle label is allowed to be added to it, where it has the three chasing arrows that says store drop-off.
Right.
Consider that from somebody, let's say, who is into sustainability or at least is choosing their products with that in mind. Consider that where it has the three chasing arrows and store drop-off versus the three chasing arrows with an X through it. It says not yet recycled. An example that I saw recently, I think it was PAC Expo in Las Vegas, actually. Mm-hmm. Kleisner has a new film that is certified store drop-off. And just consider the distinction for somebody shopping looking at two things, or having one that's recyclable and one that's not. So it's a consumer push there. We have to get there. We have to get to that threshold, the tipping point where enough people are going. Yeah.
All right. So there's really the three big... And again, I use the term plastic, we'll say resins or whatever, films. You got your polyethylene, you got your, I was going to say PET, and then your polypropylene. So that's three. So I guess give me some examples of how they're being monolayered or monomaterialed currently with some products that might be out there.
Couple examples. There's a few. One is Tyson Chicken recently came out with a bag. Okay. It's a PE and PE. I'm sure there's more in there, you know, whether they're tie layers or I know it's a printed bag, so there's more involved, but the overall structure is enough PE that it can go into the PE channel. That uses Amcor Amprima, which is one version. Another one on the polyethylene, but this is the high-density stuff. It's Colgate Palmolive. Mm-hmm. This is kind of a big splash technology because ever since there were toothpaste tubes in, you know, modern history, that's had an aluminum foil type of, it's either been all aluminum, you know, I think at one point you ripped the old aquafresh and so on, and quite a bit of aluminum on the outside. But right now, Colgate and through their suppliers are moving towards HDPE only, not that's omitting the aluminum and instead using EVOH as like an internal barrier layer. Okay. Because it's something that you're putting in your body, it's toothpaste. You need to have a barrier layer.
Yeah,
and also with any personal care products, even, you know, I mentioned the Pantene example, you need that barrier because a lot of these have perfumes and smells and could you imagine going through a store aisle?
No.
If you didn't have that, I mean, it's bad enough as it is.
Especially if you're allergic to the, yeah.
So those are a couple of examples. I mentioned the Pantene. You mentioned the Mars, the PP stand-up pouch is another one. There's a lot of examples.
Yes, in the area of polypropylene, Mars introduced a monolayer stand-up pouch for rice. And this is also microwavable. So that's another notable improvement in this packaging. They're using Amcor Flexibles AmLite Heat Flex recyclable high-performing monolayer polypropylene material. So this material allows that package to retain the shape, the shelf life, the functionality, and the high standards that this product really requires.
And go ahead. I was going to say, they weren't the only ones. FEI Foods came out with one too. And I remember we're getting the press releases within, you know, weeks of each other, both somewhat claiming to be first. So right. We were calling it internally the rice race.
It was
who was getting there first. But the important thing is that it's getting there to begin with, and that it's a microwavable. So, you know, there's an extra convenience method there for the consumer, and it's all one material.
Do we have any? Did we hit any? We did. We hit polypropylene. We hit PE. We hit PET. One thing we talked about this earlier, and that's why I'm bringing it back up because it's one that sticks for me. Is I remember back in the day in packaging, the big deal when the pods came out for the coffee, and that was, you know, everybody had to go out and get their Keurigs. There might be other brands, but Keurig will be the one I will use, like the Xerox for copies. Anyway, Keurig, the pods, and what they quickly found out is while these were wonderful for coffee, they were very, very difficult to recycle because there were so many different things in there. How about in that? Isn't there some developments in that sphere where there's some of these monitors?
This is another one that I believe came out of PAC Expo, one of the PAC Expos, and I don't remember which one. It's a joint project between a few companies. One of them was WIPF, one of them was Santis, and then on the machinery side was Omega. But it's a 7-layer co-extrusion. So any of these laminations are either laminated or co-extruded. This is a 7-layer co-extrusion of a coffee pod, and it's lidded, obviously. But then there's a barrier layer. Again, we talked about the Colgate HDPE uses EVOH. This is another case of EVOH ends up being the barrier there. So it's 98%, in this case, it's polypropylene, 98% plus polypropylene, enough to make it easily recyclable within that channel. So the much maligned coffee pods are now, you know, in this particular example, and again, there's a machinery component too to do some of the lidding on there. Again, all PP, you know, coffee pads, and it's a rigid structure.
So. Yeah, and I just remember again that came out as this big to do, and then it immediately got struck down because it didn't have the sustainable property. So that's good that there is some growth there. Now, having heard all this, and especially this is kind of because my brain is still stuck on the returning stuff to the store. For a lot of these monolayers, and if you said this already, I apologize. For examples like bringing the stuff to the store, is that the only option that we currently have for these monolayers to be recycled, or are these things that can go into the single channel recycling, or no? Like it has to be, like if I have this monolayer PP or this monolayer PE or this monolayer PET, is this going to have to go to a special facility? This has to be returned to a store, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Across. So even if it's a rice bag, so they're going to have to establish a chain at the stores in order to have all this stuff get back into the chain. We're not at the point where I'm putting that at the curb.
Correct. And they do have that stream. So that's why it's helpful to have a ready-made stream for these materials. But I think another thing to note that we probably didn't talk about, or I don't think we mentioned, is that these are typically downcycled. Okay. So it will be in, Trex is a huge recycler of these types of materials, and those will be like the rubber material on playgrounds.
That's
benches.
What I immediately thought of when you said downcycle. That seems to be where all the downcycling goes, or like in AstroTurf or field turf for sports. Like they have the little things to replicate the dirt to kind of soften this. So it's just waste. But it's still, again, being reused into another product, which is much better than just sitting in a landfill.
Yeah. Yes. And I know Monroy recently got involved with Trex not too long ago. So that's good. But there is always the silver bullet, which is the other option, which, you know, in another podcast, we talk about advanced recycling or chemical recycling, mm-hmm. or molecular recycling. That could be an option as well in the MRF of the future, at least.
Right, where we're just going to be able to completely reuse it. And that's, fingers crossed, something that we're going to cross down the line. Okay, well, with that being said, I think we've said enough about mono materials. So on that note, thank you again, Anne-Marie. Thank you again, Matt. And thank you to all the listeners at home.
Please rate, review, and subscribe. To do that, go to the iTunes podcast or Spotify app on your phone and search for Unpacked with PMMI.